Grace, mercy, and peace are yours
from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Week after week, we come, we gather here for worship. And as a congregation, we have a mission to this neighborhood and to our community. But we also recognize that we're a congregation that's part of something much bigger than what we experience only here in our little part of the kingdom. We're part of a denomination and part of God's church that connects us to Christians around the globe and Christians of all ages. Next month, we'll get a little picture of that when Pastor Dawes and his wife Julie join us for worship. Pastor Dawes serves the Lutheran Church in Lutheran Confessional Church of Pakistan, and the story of how that church formed is truly an amazing one. As we think about how we must remember that the Lord's kingdom is much bigger than just Grace Lutheran Church and preschool or even the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in truth, we're just one small part of God's kingdom that's connected to Christians around the world. In the midst of our day-to-day life, it's easy, I think, to forget the global nature of what we do here, why God gathers us around his word. But in that Old Testament lesson this morning, the prophet Isaiah talks about, shows us how remarkable and awesome God's work through his church truly is as he gathers and transforms his people to be sent into the world, declaring his mercy, love, and forgiveness to all. Think about it. Just this morning, some of you drove from some portion of Caldwell to get here. Others may have come from the north or west, like Notus or Parma or even near Homedale. Still others come from the east, like Middleton or Star. We have people that come here from Nampa and Meridian, and I know of one family who regularly drives here from Melba. And as we came here, we all passed by various community landmarks, businesses, schools, hospitals. And you likely had to pass over rivers like the Boise River, or if you came from Sunny Slope or Marsing, you may have passed over the Snake River, driven by Lizard Butte. Now think about all the places in the world where God's people are gathered together for worship, to praise and to be fed by him. Some are in grand cathedrals, others under grass roofs, and there are likely many who are gathered under the open sky. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of them. And even more remarkable than those who've traveled from different directions and gathered in different types of places is the great variety of people whom God has called to faith. Everywhere God's people gather, there are people who are young and old, who play their hymns and spiritual songs to the sound of drums and dance. There are doctors and lawyers and mechanics and farmers and salespeople and waitresses. These people have a variety of hobbies and interests, speak many languages, and of different colors. But they all have one thing in common, something that should surprise us that God gathers them at all. They're all sinners. This is one trait we all have in common. From the moment of our conception, we've been sinners, and that sinful nature shows itself in the many ways we fail at doing what the Lord desires. In our reading this morning from the book of Hebrews, we heard of a few ways that sin shows itself in our lives. We don't live at peace with one another. We do harbor bitterness. We are sexually immoral. We set our priorities on the things of this life rather than the eternal inheritance, which is ours from God. Essentially, we continue to make choices that show our desire to live for ourselves rather than for others or for the good of all. And that's why we come from all directions to a place like this. We come here because it's here that we receive what we need to, by bits and pieces, focus on others rather than simply on ourselves. We come here because we know that there's something here that we can't get anywhere else. Audience participation. Anybody wearing sandals this morning, raise your hand. Oh, okay, a few. Some are, some aren't. Now raise your hand if God loves you. Every hand should go up. Yeah, that's good. All right. Raise your hand if you have a pet at home, a dog or a cat or a fish or a hamster or something like that. Okay, you do. That's good. That's good. Now raise your hand if God loves you. Good. Getting a little better. Getting a few more that are joining in. Raise your hand if you were born in Idaho. Oh, there's actually more in the back. That's interesting. I don't know if that says anything about Lutherans or about Idahoans. But some of you were, some of you weren't. Hey, raise your hand if God loves you. Awesome. Great. You're all the same on that one. Let's see. Raise your hand if you were born somewhere other than Idaho. Raise your hand if you like to color. Raise your hand if you like to fish. Well, that one went up quick. Raise your hand if you like to read. Raise your hand if God loves you. All of you. We're different in so many ways. And yet, God loves us all the same. In Christ, we sinners stand before God, clothed in the forgiveness, righteousness, holiness, and purity that He gives us through faith in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus secured for us on the cross. And Jesus gives this to us in His means of grace, His word, sacraments. God loves us, and He loves all people around the world, no matter how different we are. It doesn't matter what country we live in, what language we speak, how old we are, or what our skin, hair, or eyes look like. God's love for everyone is the same, and God wants everyone to know how much He loves them. God desires all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's why God gathers us together, that we might be strengthened to go out into our world and tell others how much He loves them and wants them to be His forever. Listen again to what Isaiah says. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. And they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send them to the nations, to the coastlands far away that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations to my holy mountain Jerusalem, declares the Lord. Note that Isaiah doesn't say that this might happen. It's going to happen. It's God's will that people from every place would come to faith and give glory to God for His grace. The Apostle Paul declares the same in his letter to the Philippians when he writes, God has highly exalted His Son and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the question isn't, will it happen, or even, when will it happen? The question for us this morning is, will we be part of making it happen by sharing Christ's love with others, so they too might come to faith? You see, we are God's instrument, set in and sent into the world to declare His glory to all the nations. We participate globally primarily by supporting the missionary efforts of our church body. And there are some of us who've had the opportunity to travel to foreign countries and been blessed with the opportunity to share Christ in those places. But we don't need to go that far to share the message of Christ and His love. In fact, our greatest mission field is right among us. I don't know, you've probably seen this in various churches, that sign that says as you leave the parking lot, you're now entering the mission field. If we take that seriously, we will truly have an impact on the kingdom of God. And the time is never greater or more important than right now. Pastor Ken Klaus, he was a former speaker of the Lutheran Hour, once shared this in a devotion. And the devotion is entitled, Watch Yourselves. And he writes, I never met Roy McConnell. I never met his 24-year-old son, Nathan, nor Elroy, age 28, nor Kelly, who had just celebrated his 19th birthday. I will never meet these fellows, at least not in this life. And that's because late on a Saturday night, a drunken man drove through a red light and killed all four men in the McConnell family. The McConnells were in the midst of a family reunion. Their widows went on TV holding pictures of their fellows. They said that they hoped their sharing would make other people think twice before getting behind the wheel after drinking. And I hope so too. But I'd like to take that one step further. So often today we hear about individual rights. All too often we forget we are not islands. The things that we do directly touch others, positively and negatively. And nowhere will we find a better example of that fact than in the life and death of Jesus. His entire life was lived for others. He healed lepers when nobody else would come near them. He reached out to prostitutes and publicans when everyone else shunned them. He even gave his life so some sad sinners like you and me, might be saved. Now, a risen Redeemer asks his people to live their lives for others, thinking of others, helping others, witnessing to others. And we do this not as an obligation, but because these others are brothers and sisters. Because you see, Jesus gave his life for them too. They just may not know it yet. So today, as you live your life, live it. But don't forget the other guy or gal. You will touch them for the Savior. You know, the reality is, Jesus' coming, Jesus' returns, sooner now than it's ever been before. Some will meet Jesus much earlier than they anticipated, like the man in the McConnell family. So as you leave today and go home, think about that. Think about it as you pass by those hospitals and businesses and schools. They're filled with people. Think about it as you pass over those rivers and by the other landmarks and finally get to your home. Think about it as you pass by all the people who are also driving home or whatever other destination they're hoping to reach. Think about it and ask yourself if they know Jesus. If they know Jesus loves them. We've been blessed. We've been blessed to be forgiven and become the Spirit-filled children of God. But there are still many others God wants to include in our family. Ask Him. Ask Him to use you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.